What's up, everybody? Can you guys hear me okay? Yeah, everybody good? Everybody good? Can you guys in the back hear me? Sorry, I'm looking for a chair to put my water on. Gotta keep your water close, you know? Keep your water close and your enemies closer, whatever the phrase is. I don't think that's the phrase. Is everybody having a good week? How many of y'all are like almost done with school? When's testing? When is all that?
Tomorrow?
For you? Stinks for you. All right, everybody. We're getting started. Let's quiet down. I'm going laptop and notes, if that's cool. Simply because there's several reasons. The one reason is the printer here is black and white printer. I have notes that are color coordinated, but I was too lazy to walk across the street to use the printer across the street that has color. So I'm going to do, you know, notes and this, if that's cool with everybody. Is that cool with everybody?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So Creighton made us an awesome video that we just watched talking about our sermon series that we're in right now called First Things First. Sorry, I'm emptying out my pockets. You guys seen that pocket challenge that was like popular like a year ago? Like everybody, like you empty your pockets and like you like post a picture on social media, what's in your pocket? No one's seen that. People are like, oh yeah, look at this key I've gotten, this like sweet knife I've gotten. Like they have like five knives, a gun, like some chains. I'm like, how do you fit all that in your pockets? I want like nothing in my pockets. Anyways, that has nothing to do with what I was talking about, but I just had to empty my pockets. So did you guys see the video that Creighton made for us? It was a really sweet video. The sermon series that we're in is called First Things First. Obviously, first things first implies that we need to put the first things first. Okay, so Rob ended the First John series that we were in last week, but it also jumped into this week's series. So we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 5 if you guys brought your Bibles. If not, some of it's going to be on the screen. If you can't pay attention like to your phone Bible and to the screen and to what I'm saying, just pick one. Hopefully the Holy Spirit will sort it out for you. But the main theme that we're coming into is keeping the first thing first is you guys have summer coming up, right? Summer is an awesome time, okay? I miss summers. I miss sleeping in, playing video games, all that fun stuff, eating macaroni and cheese for every meal. I miss summer, okay? But I will be honest, and I will tell you that my summers were not the most productive. I remember my dad would be the first one home. Both my parents worked. My dad would be home like around 4, 4:30. And sometimes during the summer, I would waste the entire day, like before I had a job and a car and all that stuff, I'd waste the entire day playing video games. I'd stay in my MICS athletic shorts that were like, they're universal. You sleep in them, you wear them, you know, underneath your other shorts. Like, they're universal. They are what they are. They're the most comfortable shorts in the world. At least they used to be. And, I no shirt, playing video games all day. And my dad would come home, and I'd be like, it's 4:25. I know my dad's going to be home at 4:30, and I need to throw some clothes on because he'll know that I've just laid around and played video games all day. Then he'll get home and be like, what'd you do all day? Like, played some video games, threw on some clothes, you know, and then I would have done, like, maybe I, like, looked at some, like, summer reading list. Like, I looked at the summer reading list. I didn't do it. I, like, looked at it. Like, yeah, I looked at my summer reading list. Like, oh, great, you had a productive day. I think this is going to be a problem tonight. Anyways, I used to not take advantage of the time that I had during the summer. We're going to talk a little bit about that today, about taking the time, taking advantage of the time that we have. And as believers, it's so more important for us to take advantage of the time that we have because of the time that Christ has given us. So I'm going to stop jabbering. We're going to get down into the Word, and we're just going to kind of go all over the place and hopefully something sticks. So Ephesians 5, I'm going to read it off to you. You guys ready? Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as it is improper amongst the saints. So who is he talking to? He says, amongst the saints. Who is he addressing this to? Us, believers, okay? I will continue. Let there be no filthiness, no foolish talk, no crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them, for at one time you were in darkness, but now you are in the light of the Lord. Walk as children of light. There's a song by like Lecrae and Tadashi and all those like crazy rapper Jesus people. It's called Children of the Light. You guys should look it up. It's really good. Every time I read that verse, like, song pops in my head. Okay, I'm not going to do it. Verse 9. But look it up. Lecrae's great. If you guys don't listen to him, look him up. Verse 9. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time. Because the days are evil. And that's where we're going to hit mostly tonight. I told you this is going to be a problem. Someone pay total attention to what I'm saying the entire night, but one person, not all of you, count how many times this thing falls. The person that's not going to pay attention to anything that I say, count how many times this thing falls. At least you'll pay attention to something, okay? Okay, so I digress. We'll keep going. So this week I'm going to talk about redeeming the time. Next week, Happy's going to talk to us about the will of God. The following week, Zach's going to talk to us about being filled with the Spirit. The following week, Creighton's going to talk to us about following the Spirit, the outflow that happens with being filled with the Spirit. And it's all going to be in Ephesians 5, 18 through 20. 16 through 21. So read up on it. Do your homework. Anyways, we're going to go through the notes. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Walk in love as Christ loved you and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality, all impurity, covetousness, blah, 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 blah. Jump to verse 5. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God has come on the sons of disobedience. So how do you make the most of time? That's the end of the verse that we're going to get into. How do you make the most of the time? Rob talked about last week, what was the very last phrase at the end of 1 John chapter 5? Six words. Sorry, I had to think about it.
Little children, keep yourselves from idols.
Yeah, little children, keep yourselves from idols. So we're going to be talking about how to redeem the time. Last week, Rob talked about keeping yourselves from idols. I'm telling you, as like a precursor, they go together, and we're going to get into that. What are the first two commandments that God gave? You guys familiar with the Ten Commandments? Okay, that was... Okay, the Ten Commandments... That's okay if you forgot them. You don't have to know them. Jesus came, and we're not going to get into all of that. But the Ten Commandments were these things that God gave us, basically for us to follow. And the first thing is, you shall not have another God before me. Now, when you think of idols, like Rob talked about last week, like you think of idols, you think of gods, you think of these like carved things, right? Like a tiki man. Like having a tiki man or like tin in your yard. That's an inside joke nobody got. But you think of these carved images, these idols. But I'm telling you, idols are not just these carved images. Idols are not just these fake made-up gods. We create gods in our lives. We create idols in our lives, and we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. We need to put guards up against these idols. The last thing John is saying in this letter is, keep yourselves from idols. Little children, keep yourself from idols. So how do we keep ourselves from idols? We're going to be talking about that over the next basically month, of how to keep ourselves away from idolatry, how to keep ourselves away from worshiping things that are not of God. And I'll talk a little bit about that tonight as well. One thing that you guys can do, if you're in Christ, if you are following Jesus, if Jesus is living in you, if you've committed your life to Jesus and you're in a relationship with Him, He's given us a ton of ways to follow hard after Him and run away from sin. There's verses in the Bible that'll tell you almost anything about anything. So you could look up a ton of things. We don't have time to go over all of it. I'm just going to give you a few things. In 2 Corinthians 13:5. Paul encouraged us to examine ourselves. It says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in faith. Test yourself. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test? In the Old Testament, there's two different verses where it says, thus saith the Lord, consider your ways. Thus saith the Lord, consider your ways. He was telling the people of the Old Testament, consider your ways. Consider how you're walking. Consider your lifestyle. As Christians, if you're claiming Christ, I would ask you to consider your ways, to consider your walk, to consider your lifestyle, to look introspectively and look at yourself and say, like, am I following hard after God? What are the idols in my life? If you aren't looking for things, then you're never going to find them. My wife always gives me a hard time. I will openly admit I'm lazy. Look, I'm lazy, okay? I'll openly admit, I just told you I was. I wouldn't even walk across the street to use a colored printer, okay? Anyways, I'm lazy. And all the time I'm like, Jess, hey, do you know where my tennis shoes are? Hey, Jess, do you know where my boots are? Hey, Jess, do you know where this is? Hey, Jess, do you know where that is? And she's like, if you'd look for it, you'd find it. Like, she says it all the time. And I'm not necessarily, like, dumb. I just know, like, she might know where to find it. So not just look... not just look for yourself, but have other brothers and sisters look at you and say, like, are there some things that are becoming idols in my life? Are there things that I don't recognize in myself? And when I'm looking for my shoes, like, they're right there. Like, I should have seen them. Like, I'm lazy and I'm fat. But look for yourself. Look for things in your life that you should evaluate and say, like, are these things keeping me away from God? Have others look into your life and see if there's idols in your life. I mean, we could get really legalistic and start saying you need to do this amount of time, you need to do that amount of time, you can't do this, you can't do that. That's what the Holy Spirit's for. But I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit. I'm just kidding. I am. You can't talk about Jesus, not talk about the Holy Spirit. But the next 2 weeks after that, we're really going to get hammering into that. But how much time do you guys spend looking at entertainment? Facebook, Instagram, your phone, ESPN, like, how much time a day? Zero, you're lying. How much time do you spend looking at entertainment? How much time do you spend researching, like, the things of the world? How many of y'all watch E! News? If a guy raises his hand, I will not be your friend for at least a week. That was funny. Okay, I guess people don't watch E! News anymore. Okay. I digress. That's a side note, okay? How much time do you guys spend looking at those things, looking at Facebook, looking at whatever? In opposition to that, hey, I can talk about funny things, but I need you guys in. I need you guys here. I need you guys focused. All in? All in. This guy's all in. How much time do you spend in God's Word? How much time do you spend in prayer? And I'm like the king of... like failure when it comes to that. I'm not standing up here saying, look at how much time I read my Bible and look at how much time you look on Facebook. I sounded like King Nebuchadnezzar from VeggieTales when I did that. Sorry, that's funny. I didn't try, it just happened. Last night, when I was putting the notes together, so I was sick. It's a really long story. My kids got sick, I got sick, my wife got sick, my parents got sick, my grandmother got sick, everybody got sick. And so I was finalizing my notes last night, and like I couldn't help but look at Facebook. Like, I don't know, it's made to make you addicted to it. If you don't believe it, look at the people that created it. Thank you, Rob, for sending me that video. Me and Rob send each other great videos all the time. Most of them are about God. Sometimes it's about Facebook trying to take over the world. Anyways, but I kept looking at Facebook, and I wasn't looking at anything dumb. Like, I was looking at great, useful things, like a guy going down the world's, like, longest freestyle BMX off-road thing. How is that not useful? I watched another guy that was in the NFL draft. I watched his story. I watched this sweet, UTV do a circle around one of those cage things that the bikes go around in, you know, at the circus. I watched all this stuff, and I'm like trying to put my sermon together after a long day of work. I think I got home at 8 o'clock. Then I eat soup, and then I start working on this, and I'm up till midnight. And I'm like, wow, I probably would have only been up till 11 if I could have stayed off Facebook. So I deleted Facebook off my phone last night because it was just a waste of time. How much time do you guys spend putting your energy and your effort into things that don't last? And I'm not saying Facebook is bad. Maybe I am. But what I'm saying is, how much time are you putting into these things that have no eternal weight? And then how much time are you spending in the Word? And how much time are you guys spending in prayer? And I'm the captain of failure when it comes to, you know, comparing those two things. So I'm not standing up here saying, I've got it figured out, so you guys need to go figure it out. I'm horrible at it. Anyways, I'll keep going. The covetous man in verse 5, who is an idolater. Let me reread that verse for you really quick. Nope, I'll do it right here. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ. Now, we could get really deep into that passage. If I was John MacArthur, John Piper, I'd spend my whole sermon talking about that. We don't have time for that because you guys are only in high school for so long, and we got to get through more Bible than just a verse at a time, even though I love it. Anyways, what I was saying was, I'm going off on rabbit trails today, is an idolater. So we talked about little children, keep yourself from idols. What is it saying here? Who is an idolater? Somebody who covets. We could get into the whole, this isn't saying, I'm not even going to get into that. This isn't saying you're going to lose your salvation if you sin. That's not the point of Jesus. So if you're confused by what I'm saying, please talk to your fire station leader. But this is just what Rob was talking about last week, was children, stay away from idols. Somebody who is described in verse 5, be sure that you stay away from sexual immorality, impurity, covetousness, who's an idolater, has no inheritance with Jesus. Therefore, do not become partners with them, for at one time you were in darkness, but now you are in light. Song in my head. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and is right and is true. What do you guys think is good and right and true? So if darkness, let's go back to that. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. So then what is the fruit of darkness? What I just talked about a couple verses before. Sexual immorality, impurity, hatred, covetousness, all these things, sin. Sin breeds death to sin. But what is the fruit of light? Things that are good and right and true. Who is good and right and true? Okay, we'll keep going. Everybody's following along. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. That verse 10 goes kind of back to what I was talking about with examining yourself. We're not just supposed to just live this Christian life, swipe our, our eternity card, get out of hell, and then just, live for ourselves. God is asking us through Scripture to challenge ourselves, to look at our own lives and look and see, what are we doing with our faith? What are we doing with what we believe? Try to discern what is pleasing to God. That takes effort. Have you guys ever, dated anyone before? shouldn't date till you're planning on, you know, marrying somebody. Like, if you can't drive them and pay for their living, then don't date people. Never mind, I'm not going to get in that side topic. Anyways, not talking about dating, but you try so hard to get somebody's attention when you're trying to date them, right? I can look back at times in my life where I tried to date different people. That's hard to say. And I tried so hard to make it work. I tried so hard to, like, no, it's not you, it's me. I'm sorry. Like, I promise it'll be different this time. Like, I tried so hard to make these things work. We try so hard for the things we care about. How hard do you try to figure out what pleases God? I know that's like, oh, wow, Matt, just kick me when I'm down. But seriously, how hard do you try to figure out what pleases God? Like, do you ever, like, wake up in the middle of the night and you're like, I wonder what pleases God? I will be honest, I don't do that often. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I stay awake at night like, am I living a life that's worthy of the calling of God? Am I totally wasting my time at my job? Am I totally just, like, wasting... Yeah, actually, I ask myself that all the time, so I guess I do. But how how often do you guys try to figure out what pleases God? How often do you sit and meditate on it? And what it's not telling us to do, let me repeat this, like, out loud, very loud. What it is not telling us to do is try to please God. It doesn't say try to please God. It says try to figure out what pleases God. Because if you try, you don't have to try. Love that song. If you're always trying, like, then you're not also leaning on, like, the grace and the truth of Jesus. But try to figure out what pleases God. Try to think about, like, what it's asking us to do is meditate on the things that pleases the Lord. Take action upon those things. So yes, go out and try. But you cannot do it in your own strength. Do not try under your own power to be, like, super Christian, waving your super Christian flag. Except for Christian, because that's his name. But Creighton and Zach are going to talk about the Holy Spirit in a couple weeks, so I'm not going to talk about the Holy Spirit. Because I've obviously rambled long enough, and we're not even halfway through my notes. Just kidding. We're getting there. But we talked about sin and darkness and death and all these things, right? So try to figure out what pleases God. Try to please Him. Try to figure out what makes Him happy. Stay away from things that become idols in your life. Stay away from false gods in your life. Not little tiki men. Stay away from things that you worship. Sports, your relationships, your grades, making your friends happy, trying to make your parents happy. Parents, we want your kids to be successful and we want them to love and to listen to you. But don't just live strictly for your parents' approval. Like, live for God's approval. Sometimes, I pray not, but sometimes what your parents want and what God wants doesn't always line up. And I'm probably going to get Rob some phone calls for saying that. I apologize in advance. Hopefully, all of your parents are walking with God and you're going to make decisions that please God, that please them as well. And if not, if you don't find yourself in that situation, that's what we're here for. That's what your leaders are for. That's what your Christian friends are for, to give you sound advice, to give you a sounding board, to encourage you to follow after Christ no matter what. But it talks about all these sins, and I'm not just going to skip over them. But have you guys ever fed a stray cat? So I live in Port St. John now. Woo-woo! Who lives in Port St. John? Where's my man at? Where's my dude? There he is. PSJ for life. Just kidding. We might be selling our house soon. Might be getting out of there. Just kidding. 32927 for life. 32927. Anyways, so Port St. John, and I promise I'll keep going. Port St. John has a ton of stray cats. But when I was a kid, they had even more stray cats. And when I didn't live in Port St. John, whenever someone said Port St. John, all I thought about was, like, stray cat land. And I remember... No, that's what I thought. Yeah, that's seriously what I thought. All the cats in Port St. John have died in front of my house. All the stray cats. They all. Like, there's this patch of woods next to my house. There's a patch of woods across the street. And they play that Roadrunner. What's Frogger? With the cars. And people do like 55 down Grissom. And they all get smashed. And then I've literally buried like 10 cats in the neighbor's yard. It's an empty lot. It's an empty lot. I park all my trucks and trailers there too. It's a rental agreement. I take care of the, you know, trim the trees and you let me put whatever I want here. It's a one-way agreement. I'm admitting to sin. Anyways, so Port St. John is straight Catsville. And I remember when I was a kid, I was in Cub Scouts. Anybody in Cub Scouts or Boy Scouts when they were a kid? Okay, cool. Anybody still in? You don't have to, don't admit it out loud right now. It's okay. It's different. It used to be different 15 years ago. I promise you, it used to be different. Anyways, so I remember we used to meet at this lady's house. And there was like an empty lot near like across from her house. And all the stray cats went to this house. Because the crazy lady next door that had her own cats would dump like, you know, two bags of like stinky, nasty cat food, and like all the cats of Port St. John would come in, eat like every night at this lady's house. So I remember like towards the end of the meeting, we'd be like sitting in the driveway, like making, you know, cars out of like whittling wood or whatever, carving soap, like putting face paint on, whatever we were doing, and I'd always see these cats around. And maybe this illustration was way too long, but when you feed sin, listen, when you feed sin, it's like feeding Rob's laughing. Listen, when you feed sin, it's like feeding stray cats, okay? When you feed sin, it's like feeding stray cats. At first, you think you're just feeding one thing. So you're thinking, oh, it's not a big deal. It's just this one thing. I'll hide it. It's not a big deal. I can make up this excuse to like excuse myself. But the problem is it comes back and it brings its friends, okay? Feeding sin is like feeding stray cats. You can think you're just feeding this one thing, but it's going to come back and it's going to bring its friends. And nobody likes stray cats, okay? So I'll keep going. There's too many around your place. They probably all left Port St. John, teleported. I'll keep going. Stay with me. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful to even speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Now, who was this? We talked about this earlier. Who was this letter addressed to?
Us,
okay. Again, we're getting into these really deep theological things. A nice thing about when Rob does this tag team preaching thing is you can say some stuff that people might disagree with, and he's got to deal with it because I don't work here. Anyways, I think he's addressing this letter to believers when he's saying, awake, O sleepers. Christians can be awake in their life. Christians can be awake in their walk with Jesus. I have had times in my life, I have not lost my salvation, okay? But I've totally just like forgotten about who Jesus is. I've totally dedicated my life to myself, to my pursuits. That was like, I mean, it's still like it's a constant battle, but that was like the entirety of my life, like age 7 to like 14. I was like, sweet, I'm not going to hell. VBS, kneel down, cry, boom. And then God started showing me like, you almost got it, but you're not quite there. Anyways, when he's saying, awake, O sleeper, I think he's talking to us. And there's this really smart guy named Spurgeon, and I'm going to read some of his notes in a minute. but I think he's talking to us, and I think Christians can be asleep in their walk. I think we can be dysfunctional Christians. This is what he says. This sleepiness in the Christian is exceedingly dangerous. because he can do a great deal while he is asleep that will make him look like he were quite awake. All right, think about when you're asleep, okay? Anybody hear sleep talk?
No.
All right, hands down, hands down. Anyone sleep walk?
No.
Hands down. Anyone sleep eat? All right, all right. This is a real one. Anyone seep. Anyone sleep sing? I've heard my daughter, Adriana, sleep sing before. That's the cool thing about when you have, when you get married and then you have children. Because there's certain things in life that are just like these like things you just don't talk about. You know, you just like, you don't. They're just too deep, too dark, too secret. But when you're forced to live with other people, you start figuring these things out. And so it's kind of like a test group. Like, you get to figure out, like, oh, I'm not a total freak. Other people do this too. Like, when my daughter started eating her boogers, I was like, I'm not the only one. But no, I've heard her sing in her sleep. She was, like, humming, like, Moana one night. Which, that's one of my favorite movies right now, I'll be honest with you. You're welcome. You're welcome. Okay, this is something else Spurgeon said. He said, the man who is asleep, and again, we're talking about Christians, the man who is asleep does not care what becomes of his neighbors. How can he while he is asleep? And oh, some of you Christians do not care whether your souls are saved or damned. It is enough for them if they are comfortable. If they can attend a respectable place of worship and go with others to heaven, they are indifferent about anything else. And my fear, friends, is that a lot of times we treat our Christian faith just like Spurgeon described it. Manny, how long did he live ago? Like 200 years? 180? I don't know. Anyways, long time ago. But this happened in his time. This isn't just a, like, us right now problem. Like, people have not cared about the first things first for a long time now. It happened in the New Testament. Like, if you read the Bible, you're like, oh, we're all dumb. But, like, is that the legacy that you want to live as a Christian? Like, is that what Christ has called you? Has Christ called you to a life where you're just totally asleep as a Christian, not paying attention to anything or anyone, anybody around you? And we all know the answer is no. Speaking of sleeping in dreams, another illustration, and I'll keep going quickly because I know that I got to be smart with my time because the days are evil. How many of you guys have dreams? Okay, everyone raise your hand. Let's rephrase that. Has anyone here not had a dream? Don't be that guy. You're that guy. Okay. So dreams are awesome. The older I've gotten, the less dreams I've had. I think it's because I don't sleep as well. I think I don't sleep as well because I've gained a lot of weight and I snore way more than I used to. And if you're not getting good sleep, you can't dream. I mean, that's period, case closed. So I had a dream not that long ago, which is really weird because I don't have like zombie dreams. I have weird dreams. I told all my friends the dream about the centaur that was going to kill me. He looked just like the guy off of Hercules, and it's a long story. So I have dreams like that. But about 2 months ago, I had a dream. I was probably watching like, you know, some like military type, you know, show, movie or whatever before bed. But I had this dream that I was like in like, you know, a Middle Eastern country, like in the desert, sand, blah, blah, blah. Everybody around me was like dead and dying. But the enemy turned into zombies at the end. Like they were bad guys and then they turned into zombies. And so I was inside of a Ford Bronco. What better place to find yourself in time of need? But I wasn't safe because I was out of ammo and the windows they had busted through. One guy like kicked through the glass. And if you guys are like scared, like if this scares you, like please like close your ears. I don't want to be like insensitive. But this one guy like kicks through the front glass and like is like, ah, it's about to eat me. And like time paused and I had a grenade. But then I realized there were like some of my friends in the back that I had saved that were like still like alive or whatever. But I like pulled the grenade because I was like, well, I don't care. Like, I'm going out in a Ford Bronco. That's like every redneck's dream. You know what I'm saying? But, and then I remembered, like, I thought this was reality though. Like, I remembered, because I didn't want to get bit. Like, you know, in the dreams where you like, there was a dream where I specifically remember getting punched in the side of the head by this like giant. And I remember like the sound and like the pain on the side of my face. And I think it's because I fell off the bed. I'm serious. But like I specifically remember it. And I remember I used to not have control in my dreams. The older I've gotten, which is probably because I've gotten fatter and I have less like good sleep. But I used to be like so into my dreams, I couldn't get out of them. Nowadays, I can be like, oh, you're an idiot. You're dreaming. But this whole time, like, I thought this was a reality. Like, I thought I was, like, you know, in the Middle East, like, army crawling through the sand, like, like, you know, like, lighting them up. And then I thought I was going to get bit in the neck by a zombie, and then I was going to pull a grenade. And then I realized, like, oh, you're an idiot. Like, you're sleeping. Wake up. And I, like, I so thought that was my reality. But it was just a dream. It was just fake. It wasn't real. When you're in these dreams, it seems like this crazy actuality, this actual reality. But in reality, you're asleep. Here's the thing. When we are asleep in our walk with Christ on earth, it's similar. We're living this seemingly like conscious life. Like when we're asleep, when we're like kind of just living our own like life in Christ, I equate that to us dreaming. Like we're not really living for Christ. We're just kind of like in this fake dream, and we're just there. It's a seemingly conscious reality, but it's empty. There's nothing there. Like a zombie wasn't really going to bite me in the neck. I really wasn't going to like blow this grenade up in a Ford Bronco. Like it was a fake reality. It wasn't true. And when we live for ourselves in Christianity, when we're asleep in our faith, it's the exact same thing. There's nothing there. There's no weight to it. We become these zombies of self-consumption of like, how can I make myself more happy? How can I serve myself? Like our Christianity becomes like, I'm not going to hell and now I'm just going to live for myself. We're not aware of the people around us. We're not aware of the needs around us. We're not aware of the sin around us. We become total zombies and we're not aware of our own or others' depravity. And I know that took another really dumb, long illustration to get there. But we're just living this dream. We're not really living the real reality of what Christian life should look like. And I've done that so many times in my life, where my life was like, okay, I'm saved. I got friends at church. Like, my life's pretty chill. I don't have to worry about anything. And I just kind of just do my thing. But it's all this fake dream. It's not really real. So let me get to the meat and then I'm done. I'll shut up because I know it's time to, you know, wrap it up. Look very carefully then. So after all this, like, you know, just all of this pasta that I'm throwing at the wall, after all of the junk I've just tossed at you, be very careful then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time you have because the days are evil. Other translations use the word redeem. That's the idea of like a payment or like a voucher, a rain check. Have you guys ever got a rain check? Like you go to a concert, it rains. That's why they call it a rain check. It's because of rain. But have you guys ever like been to a concert or a theme park and like the ride breaks and they're like, I'm so sorry, we like ruined your day. You drove like 1,000 miles to get here, put your family up in a hotel for the weekend, and we failed at what we do. So here, you can come experience it again. That's what a rain check is. Has anybody ever gotten one of those for something? Or your parents have gotten something for something that you did? So that's not the idea. That's not what I'm telling you. But that's the idea of redemption. That's the idea of like getting something back. How many of you guys like Chuck E. Cheese? Okay, let's all be honest. We all love Chuck E. Cheese, okay? Founder of Chuck E. Cheese was a genius. I listened to an interview of him. Pure genius, okay? But when I was a kid at Chuck E. Cheese, I loved it. Like, I loved it, loved it, loved it. Like, I'd do the skee ball. I'd throw 1,000 every time. I'd get those, like, monster truck games. I do the quarter, you know, the quarter that's on the sliding shelf and you like slide it down to one shelf and then it slides down to the other shelf and then pushes all the quarters off. I was like the man at that game, and it is not a game of chance. It's a game of skill, okay? I used to love Chuck E. Cheese, and I used to love redeeming the prizes. I'd go up with my tokens, the tickets. The tokens are for the game. The tickets are for the prizes. Okay, thank you. So I'd go with my tickets, and I'd redeem these prizes. I'd redeem these, rewards. Like, here, I spent all of my parents' money and all of my allowance for the past 2 years, and you're going to give me, inflating, dinosaur or something for it. That's the idea of redeeming. Like, I've put all this in, I'm giving it to you, and I'm getting it back. And as I got older, the prizes got worse. It's probably not the prizes got worse. My interests got higher, and so, like, the blow-up dinosaur wasn't great anymore. But here's the idea of, like, redeeming the time that we're talking about. Like, time is something you've been given. Time is this token that you can cash in life. Time is something that God has given all of us, no matter where you find yourself in life, age range, whatever, like, we all are given the exact same amount of time in a day. I'm not saying, like, we all live the same length, and we can talk about that a little bit. But, like, are you redeeming the time you have, the token, that time that you have? Are you redeeming that for the things of God, or are you redeeming that for the things of yourself? I remember I used to go to Chuck E. Cheese when I got older, and then I had a little sister, which I first hated her because I wanted a little brother. But then I was like, okay, well, this isn't going to change, so I might as well get along with her. And then as those prizes got worse at Chuck E. Cheese, just because I got older and nobody cared about, like, an airplane with a rubber band propeller, I gave my sister my tickets, so she could go and redeem the prizes. And as much fun as I had, like, redeeming these prizes for myself and then playing with the prize, and then my parents saying, like, okay, stop playing with that, and then I wouldn't listen, then it'd get thrown away because I didn't listen. As much joy as I found in that, I did find much more joy in redeeming that token for somebody else. Like, I had much more fun watching my little sister get the joy from whatever she got, a bouncy ball on a string, than when I spin it on myself. And I think our lives are the same way. When you guys are cashing in your tokens of time, when you're redeeming that time, like, it's so much more valuable, it's so much more fulfilling to do that for Christ than to do that for yourself. Ooh, I thought it was going to make me enter the password. I was getting angry. Anyways, we'll keep going. And part of that redeeming the time, and then I promise I'm done, part of that redeeming the time is led by the Holy Spirit. And Creighton and Zach are going to talk a lot about the Holy Spirit. But, if you're just, again, if you're just doing this in your own strength, your own power, your own whatever, like, you're probably going to mess up. Like, God can be gracious and, like, help you out in your failure. But you gotta do it. You got to listen to the Holy Spirit. Even redeeming the time, like, don't just go out and just, like, oh, I'm going to be hokey for Jesus. Like, listen, like, God, what do you want me to do? Like, what are you telling me to do? What are you telling me to pursue after and pour my time into? I talked to a friend Monday or Tuesday, and we were talking, and he was telling me something, and we're just small talking. And I said, hey, did you know so-and-so isn't doing well? And he's like, oh, my gosh, I didn't know. And these two people are close friends. And he said, you know what? It's so crazy that you say that. God told me to call so-and-so on Saturday, and I thought about it, and then I got busy. I was tired when I got done doing what I was doing, and I went to sleep. And God, and he was like, I should have, he's like, when God just nudges you, and you know you're supposed to do something, and then you kind of just get in your own little ways, and you kind of forget about it. I was like, yeah, I do it, like, every day. But it was just a good example to me of that. Like, we have to listen to the nudging of the Holy Spirit, even in the smallest things, even in redeeming the time. Because the days are evil. Why do we redeem the time? Because the days are evil. We don't have that much time here on earth. The days are getting evil. The days are getting worse. People are like, oh, yeah, well, back in, 2,000 years ago, they used to, like, strap people to crosses and burn them and blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm not going to sit here and play a comparison game of what's worse, but you guys know things are just, like, horrible. Like, the world around you is garbage. The things that things aren't even like presented to you guys that are horrible nowadays. Those things are like thrown in your face. Like when I was y'all's age, the things that were, you know, at the tip of my fingers on a phone screen or a computer screen, or the things on the radio, like, it was just different. Like, it was bad, you know, and all the old people, like, I can't believe what you kids go through. But I'm in that place now, like, I can't believe the things that you guys, like, not just have access to, like, is shoved in you guys' face, like, is pushed upon you guys. The days are evil. Redeem the time that you have now, because, like, anyways, the days are evil. Things are getting worse. And it's not talking about just making the best use of your time. It's not just saying, like, be the most productive Christian ever, like, smash as much, like, Jesus into a 24-hour period as possible. What it's saying is, like, the time. It's talking about, like, this generalized specific, that's an oxymoron. But this, it's talking about this specific window of time. It's not just saying, like, make use of all of your time all the time, which that's a great thing to do. But what it's saying is make use of the limited time you have. Make use of the window that you've been given. Listen to the nudging of the Holy Spirit and follow Him because the days are evil. Sin is rampant in the world. You guys know that. The days are evil. I would just encourage you guys, when you guys break up into your fire stations, like, just spend some time talking to each other about how you can encourage each other to follow after God, how you guys can encourage each other from sticking away from idols, how you guys can encourage each other just to follow after truth. Rob talked about it last week. Little children, stay away from idols. And then we're talking about here, redeem the time that you have. So not just stay away from something, like not just like avoid it, because then there's a void. Like if you're avoiding something, like when you guys play sports, like, oh, football season's over, now there's a void in that schedule. What we're saying is, like, don't just get rid of things, like fill life back into those voids that are created. Don't just ignore idols and then not do anything with it. Because if you just ignore idols, another idol, like a stray cat, is just going to pop into it. So you have to pour that time into Christ and instead of into nothing, because nothing turns into sin. Anyways, I've rambled a ton, but in your small groups, like talk about the verse, look through the verse together, talk about redeeming your time, talking about staying away from idols. You guys can encourage each other to do that. Like, you don't have to walk this Christian life alone. Redeem the time, for the days are evil. Can I talk about the summer kickoff or no? The summer kickoff, can I talk about? Yeah? Okay. Oh, summer kickoff's coming up, and we're talking about, like, redeeming the time and all this stuff. Like, we're kicking off the summer. So again, just remember, the summer, you have this huge void of time in your summer, right? Summer kickoff party, invite your friends, doors open, there's going to be food, barbecue, volleyball, money prizes. So you guys should all come. It may be a good opportunity for you to invite that unsafe friend to come with you, and then maybe they'll be like, oh, Firehouse isn't so bad. Like, they won't have me up here talking, so... they'll definitely come back. But invite your friends to come, and then maybe you can redeem, listen guys, maybe you can redeem some of the time this summer that you normally be spending with them playing video games or doing whatever, and spend some time like talking about who God is, who Jesus is. Don't waste your time. Let me pray for you guys real quick, and then the band is gonna do one last closing song. God, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for your word. God, I pray that we would keep ourselves from idols like Rob talked about last week. And I pray that as we're staying away from sin, as we're trying to avoid these stumbling blocks, God, I pray that we would take that time, that void, and that we would redeem it for your kingdom. That we wouldn't just avoid sin and then let other sin creep in. God, I pray that we would flee from sin and then pursue righteousness, that we would redeem the time that you've given us, because we don't know how much time you've given us here, God. I pray that we wouldn't be sleeping as Christians. I pray that we would look at our friends and our neighbors and our family members as lost people that need you, God, and I pray that we listen to the Holy Spirit as He leads us to chase after You and to love You and to maybe share those things, maybe share truth with that person. Thank You so much for Your Son. It's in His name. Amen.